Good morning. There's some words from John's Gospel, chapter 12. The great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Father, we praise you and thank you. Jesus, we praise you and thank you. Holy Spirit, we praise you and thank you for all that is ours because of what you have done, Jesus. All that happened across this week that we call holy, but at times was far from holy. And yet, Lord, we give you thanks as we look from this week across the coming week toward Easter and towards the incredible outcome that is ours and the reason why we sit here today, of the life that we have because of you, Jesus. And for that, we give you all praise and honor and thanks. Amen. Please stand and we'll sing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hosanna!
Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Lord, we lift up your name with our hearts filled with praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God! Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with our hearts filled with praise. Exalted, O Lord my God, glory to the King of Kings.
Hosanna!
Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Lord, we lift up your name with our hearts filled with praise. Exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest.
Glory,
glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name.
With praise.
Be exalted, O Lord my God, glory to the King of Kings.
Lord, we lift.
Lord, we lift up your name with our hearts filled with praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, glory to the King of Kings. Be exalted, O Lord my God, glory to the King of Kings.
Be exalted.
Be exalted, O Lord my God. Glory to the King of Kings.
The splendor of the King.
himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
How great is our God!
Sing with me, how great is our God!
And all will see
how great.
Some praise to God this morning. Lift up your voices.
Jesus, you knew how fickle the crowd was going to be, and yet you turned your face towards the cross that you might achieve your greatest end. And all we can do is say thank you and glory to you, O Lamb of God.
Lord Jesus, you are the one whose name is above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And our hearts do sing, Lord, and we pray that in the week ahead and after Easter and throughout our lives, we might offer praise to you from day to day, always remembering that you are with us all the time in every circumstance, regardless of what happens. Regardless of the highs or the lows, we praise you and we thank you for your presence with us. Amen. Please take your seats. We're going to do a little responsorial thing of part of Psalm 118 now, and the words are going to be on the screen, and this psalm actually reflects what was going on in the crowd when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. So your bits are the bits in yellow. Let's say together the first one. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever.
It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation.
Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done.
I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation.
The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad.
Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar, nice and loudly together. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's underscore that last phrase, his love endures forever. Peace of the Lord be always with you. Just a few notices. Perhaps I should say welcome everyone as well, and welcome to those of you who are watching online. Our Easter service times, just as a reminder, and they are in the grapevine. Maundy Thursday, there's a service at 7 p.m. And Friday morning at 9:30, and again on Easter Sunday at 9:30 a.m. If you're able to join us, that would be excellent. Home Aloners is meeting on Tuesday the 2nd of April at 12:30 at number 5 High Street, Wollonga, which is the middle pub. So if you want to participate in that, see Bob Manson or Bob Stone. Where's Bob Manson? He's here today, isn't he? Oh, there he is, right up there. Can't see Bob Stone, but that's okay. A thank you, a big thank you, in fact, from Leon and Daphne for the many blessings of food, love and prayer that they've been receiving, which is helping them out and encouraging them greatly. And there's a great need, so please keep them both in your prayers, and Daphne's brother John as well, as they work through what's happening in their family life at present. Now, suppose you want to know the do you want to know the result of yesterday's market?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not telling you. Marge gave me a note. Thank you to all. Thank you to everyone who contributed in any way to the success of the market yesterday. It was a great event, and to this point, the outcome is approximately $3,000.
Yes.
It's a great outcome. Okay.
Can I say something now?
Yes, Rob. Yes, please do.
I'd like to say, actually, I would say that I have seen a few people yawning this morning, but that was because, not because you're tired from yesterday, it's because you needed an extra deep breath to sing, "How great." That was very good. I can understand that. Now, something you all know is that my wife is amazingly talented. She chose me. No, she has come up with that card. I can't even talk about it, it's so good. As a card of thanks for David Pryor. She is incredible. To David, as we make our way through the tangles of the branches, we find the beauty of a new sunrise. Please sign that today. She's incredible.
So that'll be out in the foyer afterwards?
Yeah. I'll give it to Marge now, or Colin, or somebody or other, so that I don't have to forget to do that. Thank you.
We're going to bring our offerings to the Lord now, and just stay seated for the first few verses of this great old hymn.
Praise and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children may sweet hosannas ring. You are the King of Israel, great David's greater son. You ride in lowly triumph, the Lord's
Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can stand here this morning, sit here this morning, and sing our praises. Lord, this week ahead, may we journey with you in every aspect of your journey, in the challenges you face, the pain you face, the suffering. But ultimately, Lord, may we also know the wonder and the joy and the power of your resurrection and the hope that is ours because of that. And for now, Lord, we bring our offerings to you that Bob and Elaine are holding. And pray, Lord, that you would help us to use everything that we have, everything that you have brought to us, including ourselves, as we seek to serve you in this community. And we give you all praise and thanks, Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take your seats.
Good morning, church. Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day and ask that you will be with us now as we bring our prayers of intercession before you. Palm Sunday celebrates Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and marks the start of Holy Week, the final days of his earthly ministry. In this Holy Week leading up to Easter Sunday, we're reminded of the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us all. Help us to be worthy of that sacrifice. Let us pray. Father, we pray for our world where so many people struggle to live in peace. We pray for those who have to search every day for food or walk long distances for clean water. We pray for those who are being persecuted for their faith. We remember those who have fled their homes in fear, especially the people of the Ukraine and Gaza. We thank you for those around the world who are trying to bring about ceasefires and peace agreements. We pray for our own nation, our local community, and for all those who serve in government and positions of power. Lord, we thank you for the success of our Easter market yesterday and those who freely gave of their time and efforts. Father, we ask your ongoing protection for all our courageous frontline workers and volunteers, especially in the recent fires in Victoria. But dear God, we do need rain. Please send us good soaking rain to the areas in such desperate need, for our farmers and in bushfire areas. It is with sadness that we accept the formal resignation of our minister, David Pryor. We understand that it has to be, and thank him sincerely for his service to the Vines. We ask that you bless him and his family in the long rehabilitation still ahead, and pray that sometime in the future we may be able to farewell him as we would like to do. Merciful God, we pray for all those who are suffering physical pain, the pain of grief and mourning, or of depression and mental ill health. As we name in our hearts those who are in the grip of suffering and pain, we ask that they may know your comfort and healing, both now and in the days to come. Lord, we pray for the transitioning within our own church. We thank Ian Kitto and Trevor Clark for their dedicated work in the interim. And we ask your guidance as we look to the future and the placement of a permanent minister once again. Bless and support all our worship team and volunteers in any capacity that they may hold. Please join me now in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, forever and ever. Amen.
The Bible reading today is from Romans chapter 12, reading the first 12 verses. Dear friends, God is good, so I beg you to offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That's the most sensible way to serve God. Don't be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him. I realize God has treated me with undeserved grace, and so I tell each of you not to think you are better than you really are. Use good sense and measure yourself by the amount of faith that God has given you. A body is made up of many parts, and each of them has its own use. That's how it is with us. There are many of us, but we each are part of the body of Christ, as well as part of one another. God has given each of us different gifts to use. If we can prophesy, we should do it according to the amount of faith we have. If we can serve others, we should serve. If we can teach, we should teach. If we can encourage others, we should encourage them. If we can give, we should be generous. If we are leaders, we should do our best. If we are good to others, we should do it cheerfully. Be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters, and honour others more than you do yourself. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please remain seated while we sing.
Still waters quietly restore.
I am very sad. I can't see Ralph.
He's okay.
Ah, good. You'll have to ask Ralph the question that I was going to get you to ask him next week. Would you pray with me as we begin? Loving Lord, may this be a time where we encounter you in the stillness of our spirit, that we hear your words whispered to us, that we might respond to you in love and faith. Amen. Now, that's not the one. But when I was young, and this was the question for Ralph, you see, I used to have some friends who lived a little distance away. We lived down on the flat in Lewis Street, and these friends lived right up near Seacombe Road. So we used to duck through all the back streets to get there. You know, you did that as a kid, didn't you? Yeah, I think we all did. You know, anyway, there was this one man that we came across. He lived a few doors up from my auntie and uncle. That's my auntie Avis, who's my father's sister and is Ralph's cousin. Okay? So that's kind of where it was, and I was wondering if Ralph had ever met this guy that I'm going to talk about. But, you know, we were, if we can have the photo, just put it up. No, he hasn't got it. Ah, there we go. There was this man, he was the gentlest, loveliest man you could ever want to meet. His voice was so soft. And you know, he had time for everybody. And we'd see him out walking his dog. He had an enormous white Samoyed. And it was the gentlest dog you would ever want to meet. He always had time for kids. He would gently nuzzle them. He wouldn't do anything that wouldn't run up to them or jump on them. He was very, very gentle. But the thing that always struck me was that dog had the quietest bark of any dog I knew. So here there was this owner who was gentle, softly spoken, and his dog, who was gentle and softly barked. How often do we say that owners and dogs become like each other? All right, we should have mercy on Ken now. Thank you, Ken. You know, it's true, isn't it? That dogs and owners become like one another. And I don't know who learns from who. Was the dog more quiet because of the owner? Or was the owner more quiet because of the dog? You know, it's that interaction that's incredibly powerful. And I want to suggest to you that that reflects the reality of our relationship with Jesus. That as we spend time close to him, we will become like him. Paul talks about, therefore be imitators of Christ. And we are called to do that. But as we do that, we become more like Christ and we become richer for it. And it's amazing how much relationships change our outlook on life. When my daughter was in year 8, she happened to go to a particular school and she was in the badminton team. And one of the school teachers came out to watch the badminton. And the talk among all the parents, I was only ever there once, but this got reported to me through Sue, was that they believed that that this teacher, this woman teacher, needed to address her love life because she looked incredibly sour. You know, have you ever noticed that when things aren't right in relationships, people carry that with them? We tend to see it more with men after divorce, don't we? Where they're, you know, you can see it in their demeanour, that they're carrying that price. Well, anyway, it turned out that some years later we came across this woman again. And in the meantime, she had left her failing relationship and she had found a bloke. They ended up getting married. And she was a completely different woman. You know? She was full of life and love and laughter. She wasn't sour with, you know, lemon lips. But that, were for her, was a change. And I believe that this is the dynamic that Jesus uses in us being changed. It's in that intimacy of relationship. You know, therefore be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Paul goes on, and when you see all the things that come out of that, in that chapter, all the stuff about we're all members of the body, and then he goes on and talks about all of the gifts that we might have and use. And they all come out of that transformation by the renewal of our mind. It's a very powerful thing. And the intimacy we have with Jesus is a very powerful thing. So if we are to grow in the love of Jesus, if we are to have the intimacy that Jesus desires to have with us, then how do we do it? Well, yeah, it's the old story, isn't it? It's about spending time with Jesus and doing the things that he wants. And I know how difficult that can be. I know that it can be hard to do as Jesus wants, and that when we fail to do it, we pay a price. Many years ago, when I was in one of my early churches, gosh, it sounds like a biblical time, doesn't it?
The early church.
But when I was in one of my earlier churches, we had a women's study group that I led that was on, I don't know, one morning of the week, doesn't matter which morning. And right when I had about 2 weeks left, which is why it's an appropriate story for now, okay, and we were having this time, and they had this time where we opened the prayer up for all sorts of things to happen. And I felt that, you know, God had given me a message in tongues to share. The only problem was that the cognitive part of my mind said, I can't do this. They've not been made ready for it. I haven't done anything that will help get them ready. And I won't be around to deal with the fallout. So this could be a really negative experience. So I said nothing. Afterwards, one of the women came up to me and she said very quietly, she said, you know, I'm not quite sure what was happening. She said, I don't often feel like it, but I felt that God was giving me an interpretation for a tongue, but nobody said it. And I'm going, ah, okay, I blew that one, yeah? And of course, none of you have ever done anything in the least like that, I'm sure. But it's true that it's in the doing the things that we believe God is calling us to that we actually grow more intimate. And through that intimacy, God transforms us. I don't know how different I would have been. I think God actually wanted me to learn a different lesson out of it, which I thoroughly learnt. But nonetheless, It's as we follow what Jesus is calling us to that transformation happens, that change happens in us. But that nearly always involves taking a risk. You know, I've been a minister over 40 years. I have dealt with bikey enforcers. I've dealt with people who have got serious mental illness. I've got people who have got anger management issues that I've dealt with. I only ever felt unsafe once in 40 years, and that wasn't from any of the bikey enforcers, I'll tell you. You know, when we take risks, I believe God protects us. Now, that doesn't mean I want you to go out there and be reckless. You know, you should still be cautious and careful. But nonetheless, you should be prepared to take the risks and follow Jesus and do what he is calling you to. You will feel unprepared. Yep, that's so you'll rely on God. You'll feel there must be someone better. Yep. But God's put you there. You'll feel that you should know more. Most often it's not about what we know. It's about who we carry with us. To undertake a life of being involved in the risk of following Jesus is a life that can transform us. One of my pet hates, I shouldn't tell you about my pet hates, should I? But it's people who say, I want to be the very best version of myself. As if that's somehow remarkable. You know, like, just live, will you? You know. And try and live. I don't need to know that you want to be the best version of yourself. You should be wanting to do that all the time. Am I being a grumpy old man? Yeah, probably.
No comment.
Yeah, yeah. One grumpy old man to another.
That's it.
But the journey of transformation with Jesus, most people want to live better. Most people fail often. People want to live a life that they're proud of. Well, you don't do that by setting out to live a good life. You know, it's like setting out to be happy. You know? Or setting out to love. You know, we need to be loving and we need to, but as we, and to live in a milieu of happiness, surrounded by happiness, I better change the language there, okay? But as we live with Jesus, as we follow the risks and do things with him, as our life is fully and deeply engaged with him, then we take those risks. We act in love. We are, in fact, sensitive to the spiritual world around us. All of these things come out of it, and through that, we are transformed. Not that we set out deliberately to be transformed, but as we live close to Jesus and do those things with him, that all of the other things come out of it. Remember what I talked about with Romans 12. You know, therefore be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought. You know, put others before yourself. But then he talks about so much. You know, you are part of the body. And each of us has our role to play. And then he talks on about the various gifts or ministries that we're called to fulfill. You know, these are signs of a life that's lived powerfully. And yet, the way to it is through intimacy with Jesus. That's his great gift to us, that he doesn't leave us the same. I often refer to that as seeing us through the lens of heaven. He knows what we will become in the heavenly places. He knows who God wants us to become. Who we have been created to be. But that is God's purpose, to prepare us for heaven. And as that happens, our lives are made incredibly rich through intimacy with Jesus. Transformation comes not through trying to be transformed, but by living in an intimacy with Jesus which transforms you. That Jesus, who loves you and wants to spend time with you, imagine that. You know, but that Jesus will transform you, just like that woman went from being lemon mouth to being a wonderful, happy, loving woman. So it is that we live in those intimate relationships with Jesus, that the power of that relationship transforms us. As we come to Easter, let's think about the love that Jesus showed. And remember, you have a place at Easter. You are no more fickle than the Palm Sunday crowd. You may be fickle, but you're not more fickle than them. You know, they didn't even last a week before they shouted, "Crucify him." You are embraced by Jesus because he wants to be with you, knowing that through that relationship with him, that a journey of transformation begins. And through that journey of transformation, we become those who show the loving Jesus to the world around us. Now, if that's not exciting, I don't know what is. You know, at least I think that's pretty good. You don't have to. It's all right. Okay. That intimacy with Jesus is something we can easily let go of. The world around us makes it hard for us to live in intimacy with Jesus. So many people are against the church these days. I note that politicians once more don't know how to deal with a religious discrimination bill. It's all too hard. And besides, the Christians aren't that important anyway. And in the world around us, it's actually harder to say, "I'm a Christian," than it is to say, "I'm gay." As Christians, we are being marginalised more and more, put into a narrower and narrower box. And yet I would say to you this, that it's as we embrace the fact that it's difficult to be a follower of Jesus and choose to be anyway, because knowing the love of Jesus is just such a powerful and transforming thing. The world is changing. I went to a graduation do for teachers. That is, those who have graduated from teaching into retirement. And they were talking about the changes in the school. and how, you know, it's not just the kids who might, you know, come up to you and want to punch you, it's their parents as well. You know, a lack of love and respect in our community. You know, we've been hearing about all of the major corporations and the ways that they have been showing a complete disregard for their customers, for their suppliers. You know, we can think of Bunnings, Coles, Woolworths, but also the banks and the telcos. You know, there's generally a feeling in our major institutions that fines are just a cost of doing business. We live in a world where it's harder to declare the love of Jesus who cared for the poor. The love of Jesus who cared for the outcast and the sinner. And yet that's what we're called to do. And I think in the next 20 or 30 years, so for most of us in this room, that's likely to the end of our lives, that we're called, that we will need to stand against greed and selfishness and injustice in stronger and stronger ways, because we are being transformed into those who love Jesus with great power but care for the same people that he cared for with the same love that he showed. That is what it is to be a follower of Jesus in the 21st century. So may you go and know the deep joy that that brings. Yeah, it won't always be easy, but it will be incredibly satisfying. So go and reconnect with Jesus. I'm going to steal David's next piece. He's going to remind people about the opportunity for prayer. But all of us from time to time need to return to that deep relationship with Jesus. It's actually easier if you pray with somebody else to return to that. So let me encourage you to pray with someone else this morning about your intimate relationship with Jesus. You can come down the front if you like, or if you've got a friend that you like to pray with, or if there's someone sitting next to you that you think, you know, I could pray with them, then I would encourage you to pray with them for each of your relationships with Jesus. And may you know the deep joy that that brings. Amen.
I'm going to steal something. I've just realised. We have talked about yesterday and all those kind of things. We didn't say how good those purple signs at the vines look like. Don't you reckon? We forgot that. We were so focused on yesterday. We need to say thanks to those workers who did that. That was amazing.
Hey, Rob.
I just realised that. I was listening to the sermon.
You were taking notes, I saw.
Yeah.
I'm going to quote Trevor now. You said, if I wrote it down correctly, our intimacy with Jesus is a very powerful thing. There's a Carmelite nun by the name of Sister Teresa Benedicta of the Cross who died in Auschwitz during World War II. And she was a brilliant woman. She had a doctorate. Amongst her writings was a prayer to the Holy Spirit, a novena to the Holy Spirit. It has seven verses. I first read it about 20 years ago, and the first verse of it just grabbed me. And I think I've quoted it before, but I'll quote it again. That in part, in that first verse, she writes of the Holy Spirit, "You are closer to me than I am to myself, more intimate than my innermost being." That's the relationship we have with our God. You are closer to me than I am to myself, more intimate than my innermost being. Let's stand and sing together, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me."
Grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more from heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley,
This week we come to Easter. Think about how much Jesus did for you. He died on the cross, but he actually chose. He allowed them to put him on the cross for your sake. He allowed others to deal with him shamefully so that you might be transformed. If you go into this week, just rejoice that you're that special to God. You matter that much to the God of the universe that he would allow himself through his Son to be dealt with shamefully so that you might know his love. So go and rest in the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
How cool is that? Thanks, Sarah. God bless you.